Will it surprise you to hear me say this morning that I am not fond of the popular cliche, that person is so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good? Such a phrase is contrary to what the Scripture teaches us. One of the more prominent themes in the New Testament regarding Christian behavior is that the more heavenly minded we are, the more useful we become as citizens of this planet in the here and now. Our heavenly mindedness and our usefulness on this earth should not be seen as being mutually exclusive. In fact, the Apostle Paul explains how being heavenly minded is actually the key to appropriate behavior in the here and now. This is what Paul says in the second verse of the third chapter in his letter to the Colossians. Paul says, "Set your minds on things above." Translation, be heavenly minded. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Paul then goes on to talk about a variety of behaviors that should be avoided by God's people at all cost. And these two exhortations belong together. We set our minds on things above because it impacts our behavior. We set our minds on things that please God because we are prone to pursue a path that pleases only ourselves. We might first want to ask, what does Paul mean? What does he mean by that phrase, things above? I think Paul wants us to look beyond that which is temporary. And he wants us to focus on that which endures, that which is eternal. I think Paul wants you and I to fix our view and our attention on God. He wants us to be focused on God's character, God's ways. And I think Paul wants us to have in view the heavenly joys that await all who trust in Jesus Christ. I suppose that could be misplaced and misapplied in such a way that would render you and me no earthly good. But that's certainly not Paul's intention here. Paul simply recognizes that the direction of our minds hugely impacts the direction of our lives. So with that, let me ask you this morning, what or whom is dominating your thought life? What or whom is dominating your thought life? Or to put it another way, what do you think about when you have nothing to do? What do you think about when you have nothing to do? Now, my intention is not to make you feel guilty for thinking about your upcoming vacation over March break, or to make you feel guilty for thinking about who will be traded at the NHL deadline. You shouldn't feel badly about thinking about the pressures you experience at work. You shouldn't feel guilty for thinking about your home renovations. But I do want to know this. Do your thoughts often go to Christ? To what extent does Jesus Christ and His call upon your life, to what extent does that garner your constant attention? I'm very fond of the question R. Kent Hughes asks, what will the divine post-mortem reveal to be our highest priority? What will the divine post-mortem reveal to be our highest priority? Frankly, that question scares me. And if it startles you at all, I hope you'll join me in making this a constant item for prayer. Lord, help me to fix my attention properly upon You. Lord, help me to set my mind on things above. Why would we do this? Why Why would we set our minds first and foremost upon Jesus Christ and His ways? We do this because as Christians, we confess that we belong to Jesus Christ. As Paul says elsewhere, if you regard Jesus to be your Savior, then you are no longer your own. You were bought with a price, is what Paul tells the Christians in Corinth. And that's why I've entitled this morning's message, The New You. Because Christians are different because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Christians are to be different because of the transforming power of Christ in His gospel. I think this is why Paul uses the imagery of clothing in this passage. He uses this imagery of clothing in the Greek, which translated for us is put on the new self. And it's the language of dressing oneself. Dress yourself with a new character, a new way of living. That's a radical way to talk. The way we used to be. The way we used to live before we met Jesus Christ, Paul says we discard this like an old worn out garment. And now having Jesus Christ, we put on His righteousness. We put on His righteous ways like a new garment. And it will change your life forever. I want to share with you an account of someone who did this, who discarded the old garment and put on the new garment of Christ and His righteousness. It's a famous person I'd like to talk to you about now, and you've likely heard of him. Robert Evel Knievel. You know him as the world-famous motorcycle racer and stuntman. And thanks to internet technology, you can view Robert Evel Knievel's testimony online, where he describes himself as a wild, wild person who didn't want anyone to tell him how he should live. He talked at length about the riches he had amassed from all his performances, the 5 Rolls Royces he owned, the 5 Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, the diamonds, the gold, the racehorses. He even bought 2 jet airplanes and confessed in his testimony, "I flew one plane alongside the other so that I could read my name on the plane at 40,000 feet." Robert Evel Knievel went on to concede, "I was empty. I had every worldly possession that he ever desired." And he conceded, "I was empty." After much searching and struggling, Evel Knievel recounts, "The power of God just grabbed me. I prayed that God would put His arms around me and never let me go." Reflecting on this, Evel Knievel commented, "I'm so complete now. I'm no longer empty." Those around Evel Knievel had observed that this encounter with Jesus made him like a new person. And you might know that Robert Evel Knievel died and went to be with his Lord in the past year, not long after his conversion. What about you? Is the old self gone? Has the new self been put on? Are you like a different person having met Jesus Christ? I really like Paul's clothing imagery because it isn't entirely cut and dried. It is in the sense that we either possess the garment of Christ's righteousness or we don't. But it's not cut and dried in the sense that we don't always choose to wear the garment of Christ appropriately. Though we are fully equipped for transformed living, we sometimes resort to our formal ways and habits. I'd like to present to you a fictional scenario to demonstrate the skewed logic of backsliding into a former way of living. I've just come back from a neighborhood park where I've been playing tackle football with my good friends. And it was a spring day. It was just after the snow melt, and the field was really mucky and in dreadful shape. And as we finished the particular game, or partway through, I went home because my track pants and my t-shirt were just covered in mud. I was covered in mud from head to toe, grass stains everywhere. And I return home from the park playing football, and there you are. You're waiting for me because you have a gift for me. And you're so pleased to show me that you've purchased for me a beautiful suit from Harry Rosen. It's a really fancy suit. It's the one I've always wanted but could never afford. And you knew I was eyeing this suit, so you purchased it for me. And so I begin to express my tremendous gratitude for you buying me this wonderful suit. And I thank you repeatedly over and over again. And you are contented with my gratitude, and you return home. So I proceed to immediately try on this suit, and it fits perfectly. I'm so excited to have this suit. And so in the suit, I return to the neighborhood park where a few of my friends are still playing football. And they look at me strangely. They're still covered in mud and grass stains from head to toe, and here I am in this beautiful suit. And I say, okay, fellas, I'm ready to go. Let's play. And they look at me strangely, but then they just let me back in the game, and we go about playing. And it's not long before my new suit is covered in mud and grass stains. Now, I realize what you're thinking. This scenario, Bryn, is utterly ridiculous. No person in their right mind would ever play mud football while wearing a suit from Harry Rosen. But that's exactly my point. And I think that's precisely Paul's point. Followers of Jesus Christ are wearing the divine suit of Christ's righteousness. And yet we continue to engage in activities that are inappropriate for the garment that we are now wearing. We're supposed to be different now. Following Christ is meant to change us. Wearing His righteousness ought to compel us to live differently than before we met Him. I could illustrate the same point by referencing one of my favorite Canadian television shows, Restaurant Makeover. Have you ever seen this show? I love this show. It's on the Food Network, usually about 8 o'clock at night. They take a GTA restaurant that's struggling and they gut the restaurant. They totally physically renovate the restaurant. And when you gut a restaurant, of course, you not only have to put walls back and put drywall up and paint, but you have to decorate them. So all new decorations go up and the theme changes in terms of the decor. Not only that, but they shred the menu of that restaurant and they entirely redo the menu as well and the types of food that are served there. I was surprised to read recently that not a few of these restaurants were closed and sold following their makeover by this company that has the television show. And I learned how in almost all of these cases where the recently renovated and made over restaurant is closed or sold, that conspicuously in almost all of these cases, the owners had attempted to reintroduce their old menu items. And they had systematically begun to reintroduce old items from the decor of the original restaurant. And these two things caused an inevitable backslide to the restaurant's former state. Well, I fear that this has been the experience of many Christian people. There was a time when we realized that all was not right within us. There was a time when we, like Robert Evel Knievel, confessed, I am empty. I need a makeover. I need a transformation from the inside. There was a time when we longed for Jesus Christ to fill that emptiness. We longed to be made new. But afterwards, bit by bit, we began to reintroduce things from our former way of living. And I know to my shame that I've done that to some degree. I'm not speaking to you as a role model of someone who never reintroduces the old Bryn McPhail. Wanting the best of both worlds, I confess I have put on my old filthy garment from time to time. But to be honest, this divided approach to life, trying to wear an old garment and a new garment at the same time, makes absolutely no sense. You and I were designed for something better than this. We were saved to be made like Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in Him alone can fill our deepest needs. This should be a source of great encouragement for you this morning, as it is my distinct pleasure to announce to you, a new you awaits. A new and improved you, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, awaits. This is not something to resist. This is something to embrace with your whole heart. I want to encourage you, embrace Jesus Christ and all that He is for you. And you will be deeply satisfied. And you will shine that bright light in this world. Amen.